Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Revelation chapter number 19. I want to finish our study on this section of scripture about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the wedding. Remember last week we introduced the thought, and the title of my little lesson last week was Here Comes the Groom. You know, when we have weddings here, all the focus and attention is upon the bride. The lady, she comes down the aisle, and oftentimes when we have weddings, me and the groom would just stand up here like a knot on the log, you know. No attention to us, but when that bride comes down that aisle, everybody stands and, you know, respect, and she's dressed most of the time in the white. You know, here comes the bride, all dressed in white, that song. And all would just honor her, she walks down the aisle. But this wedding is going to be completely different. We see that we're going to honor him. It's not about us, it's about him. So we'll just read these verses in Revelation 19, verses 7 through 10. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And in verse number 10, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Before I get back into the marriage supper of the Lamb and this wedding that's going to take place in the future, I want you to notice in verse number 10, because I won't hit on that this morning, but just as a note, we're not to worship angels. Amen, preacher. We're not to worship preachers. We're not to worship anybody but God. Okay? And you see, there's a great illustration here that this is an angel delivering this to John as he's writing these things, and he fell at his feet, verse number 10, at this angel's feet to worship him. And he said, Don't do that. I'm just like you. I'm just a servant. We know servants are ministering spirits. They do the work of God. God would tell, matter of fact, they obey God better than we do. Amen, preacher. You can say amen to that. Angels today, if God tells them to go there immediately, they go, okay? We, on the other hand, if God asks us to do something, we may or may not do it. Well, let me think about it. I'm just saying, that's a whole nother sermon. But at the same time, I want you to notice that we're not to worship anyone or anybody or anything but him, but God, okay? Well, in verse number 7, again, by way of just review, when it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. The word glad literally means to rejoice, to be happy. Are y'all happy this morning? Everybody's happy. We have an old song in that blue hymn book, that old hymn book. By the way, I love the old hymns too. I cut my teeth on it as a boy growing up in a country church there in Campbell Station. It's called Campbell City now. And they sang out of the brown paperback hymn books. We're uptown now. We have the blue ones, the hardback book. But it was a brown, it's Stamps Baxter brown book. And one of those songs is, Everybody Will Be Happy Over There. Everybody will be happy. You know that song? I love that song. But every time I sing that song, my mind goes back to now. Everybody ought to be happy here. Not just over there. We are going to be happy. Sing and shout and sing. Watermelon, watermelon. Everybody will be happy over there. Okay? Everybody ought to be happy here. Because no matter what's going on in your life, we have him. Even through the storms of life, we have him. Well, over there, let us be glad and rejoice. The word glad means to rejoice, to be happy. And then the word rejoice is a little bit, we kind of put them together. Be glad and rejoice, like, well, they kind of mean the same thing. Well, when you really look at it, it's a little bit more. To be glad means literally to rejoice or to be happy. To rejoice means to be exceedingly glad. In the Greek language, it means to jump for joy. Y'all would think I'm a Pentecostal if I showed you what that really meant. You know, about jumping for joy, that they're really exceedingly glad. Be glad and rejoice. Remember when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem? It had been in the hands of the enemy. And he got dancing and just got beside himself. And his wife got so mad at him. Literally, I'm paraphrasing. David, you're acting like a fool. You're embarrassing me. But he was rejoicing in the Lord because of that great Ark of the Covenant is finally coming back to where it's supposed to be. Well, here in heaven, there's going to be a lot of being glad and a whole lot of rejoicing. You ought to practice saying amen down here, because we'll be saying amen a long time up there.
Amen.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. You ought to practice saying hallelujah, praise the Lord down here, because forever and ever we're going to be saying hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb, praise the Lord forever and forever. So get in practice while you're here, okay? Praise the Lord. There you go. Why should we be glad and rejoice and give honor to him? I've already mentioned about this, about the honor of this wedding will be directed to Jesus Christ, not to us. All honor, glory, and praise will be directed to him and him alone. Why? For, the word for here literally means because. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I mentioned this last week. I won't rehash this again, but you know when about, remember the Jewish wedding, the analogy, when the young man would marry the young girl, that they would make that covenant agreement, and he would go back to the father's house, prepare a place for her. Remember that? We talked about that last week. Okay, while the young man's gone, approximately 12 months typically, of course, it depends on how long it took the young man to prepare the place for the bride, how long it took him to build a house. If he was working like we're working on the building over here, probably take him 3 or 4 years. You could laugh about that. But anyway, it's almost done, by the way. Amen. That's a sideline. Anyway, typically it's a year. While he was out working, building that house for his bride, she had to be doing something. What was she doing? The Bible says, she hath made herself ready. She was preparing for that wedding. While he was doing something, she just wasn't sitting around. Well, he's going to come one day and I'll just wait for him to come. No, she was getting ready. She was preparing herself for that great wedding. And what she was doing was sewing her wedding dress. Now, most ladies don't have no idea what we're talking about now, because now they'll go to Bell's or I don't know, wherever they go. I don't know where you buy wedding dresses, or I have no clue because I've never bought one.
Amen.
Amen. I'm still a man. I'll leave that one alone. You know where I'm coming from. Okay. Now, for a woman buys a wedding dress. Anyway, but then they would make their own wedding dress. A trousseau is what it was called. And she would sew it and just get the best materials and prepare it to be ready for the wedding. Now, when he would come for her, if her dress was not ready and prepared, she'd be embarrassed and ashamed, and so would be the groom, because I've come, you've had a year where you've been waiting on, you know. So that's what this literally means. She hath made herself ready. Literally, she's prepared. She was preparing herself for that great wedding. Verse number 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Then look at this next phrase. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Again, I want to draw your attention. This is not the righteousness of God. It's the righteousness of saints.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.